The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 6 of the Gospel of John, chapter 10 says, the figure of speech, it's an interesting word that we'll have to come back and look at. Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. You'd be surprised how few Christians understand what's going on in Scripture, not just here, but in so many places. So let's spend a few moments in prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves, to see if we're trusting His Spirit, to open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear in the passage before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the crowd to whom Jesus Christ was speaking did not understand what he was saying. This is not unlike throughout all history, how rarely people really understand what's going on in Scripture. The book of Revelation, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. It is so easy to think that we see what's going on in Scripture and be so wrong. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things that are going on in the Scripture before us, that Heavenly Father, we might see it clearly and live it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Something happens in most people's lives, not everyone's, but in most people's lives, you spend a time after you start growing a little bit, different ages it starts, but you begin to wonder. Some meditate on it a lot, others do not, but in the back of their mind, who will I marry? Marriage is, you kind of look forward to it, and what will he be like, what will she be like? I want them to be this, I want them to be that. And you just grow with that in mind, that anticipation of marriage. And finally, somewhere along in life, different ages, different circumstances, most people will meet someone, we meet someone, and okay, that's the person I'm going to marry. Then you arrange either through the justice of the priest or the justice of the peace or a church, whoever, whatever, who has the authority to do it, recognized by the state, because marriage is a state thing. And so you get married. That's it. Phase one is over. All of the wondering, thinking about it, preparing, worrying about it, anticipating it, and then you meet them, then you go through all of that, and then, in the wink of an eye, it's over. Phase one is over. You're married. Now comes phase two. Uh-oh. Now you're really in. And that's a long phase. Phase one's very quick. Boom. I do, you did it. It's over. Now the anticipation, the search, if we use that romantic word, if you don't mind, the anticipation, the search, all of that, that's all excitement, intriguing. But the actually getting married, boom, it's done. Now you go to phase two. Phase two is the marriage. You're married, now you got to live married. In America, today, it's unfortunate, but well over 60% now, and it seems to increase, that percentage increases a couple of percentage points every 5 years in America, which is very scary, but over 60% now end up in divorce. It's not about divorce, don't Don't go heavy on me. Just stay with the analogy. Stay with what I'm doing. So, here we are in a situation where we have a man and a woman. That's a good start. At least, I'm going to make a big assumption. For a little while, there was real good friendship and compatibility, some heat, lust, if you please, but I just call it good old heat, romance, physical attraction. We had that going for us. And we're right there, hear each other's voice, see each other's countenance, touch each other, enjoy each other, and still can't make it. Still can't make it. With all that going for us, little parentheses, and we wonder why worlds are, if our countries are at war. I mean, we can't even get along with someone and, you know, the opposite sex that we were once well attracted to, but we can't make it to that second phase. That's what Christ is doing here in John 10. He's giving to us in the first three verses the first part of the two-part plan of God. And I don't want you to miss it, because what is so important about the two-part plan of God is how you entered into the first part, salvation one, or eternal life, is exactly how you're going to live the Christian life, the second part. It's not surprising to me that very few Christians, and I do mean few, I'm sorry, very few Christians, after salvation, live the spiritual life. It does not surprise me there are so many denominations, movements, religions, lists, performance, all judgments, separations, all this stuff. If we can't even live together, it's no surprise to me that in that spiritual, invisible spiritual realm, that very few ever really make it to where God has taken us. But we're now at that point in our study in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. So let's read the first part, and then we'll go to the second part, and I want to show you how they're so closely linked. And off and on through this morning, I'm going to use the romantic-married-living-married analogy, because you and I are more familiar with that. Very few of us grew up with sheep. Anybody here grew up around sheep? You did? Grew up around sheep. All right. Very few of us grew up around sheep. A kid has horses and cows. I told her she needed some sheep, but she didn't say she didn't want those stinky things around. So sheep are it's an amazing thing, being around sheep. So we're not familiar with what the Jews were extremely historically familiar with, the sheep analogy here. But we're familiar with the marriage thing. So I'm going to kind of go back and forth. I don't want you to miss in any way what Christ is saying. They didn't understand it. I want us to understand what's going on. Now, verses 1 through 3 is that first part. Salvation 1, getting saved. And people, that's so important. Just as it is so important whom you marry, it is so important, vital. I can't use enough descriptive words. Vital that you and I understand how to be saved. Because any little point where you're off on your salvation, what's going to happen in your Christian life, that's going to be magnified. If you think you have to do any little thing to be saved, I can guarantee you're going to fall for a Christian life where you have to do a lot. So it's vital to know when you get married, this is the one. That's vital. So it's vital to know how to be saved from God's perspective. So let's take a look. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, truly, truly means you're going to have to make a decision. This doesn't mean this is just important. This is decision making. I, Jesus Christ, say to you, the religious crowd, the Jews, the people that are there, and we know there's some believers in here, because we saw that earlier in chapter 8. But most of these people are unbelievers. He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep. Now, very quickly, we have some new people here this morning. The whole analogy is made off of the time of Christ in the city of Jerusalem, where, if you can imagine this room, it's part like the city of Jerusalem, and during the day, the shepherds have their sheep in various places all around the city of Jerusalem. So way out there's a pasture, and out there's a pasture, and the shepherds have been shepherding their sheep. And then in the evening, they bring them into the sheep gate of the walls of Jerusalem, into what we call a sheepfold, which is a large corral. And the stocks, right over in the Fort Worth, we have the stocks. They have the stocks, so you've got fences in your board. So here you bring them. But unlike the Fort Worth stockade, where this rancher puts them in that stock, and this rancher puts them in that stock, here all the sheep come into the same room. Now, the shepherd goes off for the night, and he leaves them with the guard of the gate, the gate guard. So they are now in the care of the gate guard. Then in the morning, a shepherd will come back, the gate guard recognizes him, lets him in, and he comes in, and how's he going to get his sheep out of there? His voice. Sheep are dumb, but they do recognize the voice. And it'd be different. Everyone has a different one. I don't even know enough to imitate it, but it'll be, okay, that's mine. And then another one come in, different one, that's mine. And so all the sheep would follow their shepherd by his voice. They would go out. Now, going to have some people who want to come in and steal sheep. There we got, so that's one person we got. We have the true shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. The gatekeeper is the Holy Spirit. And the sheepfold is all of the human race. The nation of Israel in context, but by application, the whole world, all unbelievers. So you get a picture of what's going on. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who enters, who does not enter the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way. This is trying to be saved in some other way. And note the word climb, you've got to work. You don't want to go through the door of Christ. The door is very important in the whole study. But you want to work at it. He's a thief and a robber. And what does that mean? He wants to take what is not his. He wants to take what is not his. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Jesus Christ. Entering by the door means the first advent, incarnation, which we're getting ready to study or celebrate next month. And so he comes in through the door, the shepherd, he is the shepherd of the sheep. Now verse 3, to him, that true shepherd, the doorkeeper, the guard of the gate, that's the Holy Spirit, opens. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit part in the incarnation of Jesus Christ into the world. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Now remember that by name, there is no other, it sounds like it's by their name. And while that's I have no problem with that, what really is going on, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The name is Jesus Christ. So he calls them by name, and then he leads them out. That's salvation one. That's where he comes in, identifies, gives his voice, and what's the voice? Now, verse 3, and he opens the door, to hear the sheep hear his voice. It's the gospel sound. It's a great sound of the gospel. His voice is the message. And the message is the truth of the gospel. Simple faith. No works. Simple faith. And he leads them out. Now, let me just quickly relate all this to our analogy. Okay? So, Here, and I'm gonna, if we're the responders to Christ, the ladies, so there's gonna be a lot of what? Thieves and robbers. When a young girl's growing up, gonna be a lot of thieves and robbers who want her. But they're not their husband. Not even their future husband. So, they're in the picture. But she doesn't respond. Then comes the husband. She hears that voice, as it were. And she follows out or gets married. So, they're coming out of the sheepfold, salvation one, and then she getting married, that's one point in time. Boom, that's all it is. One point in time, not a process. Salvation is not a process. They hear his voice, they go out the gate, they're saved. Just like, so the woman and the man, they meet each other, they hear each other's voice, and boom, they're married. That's it. Phase one is over. Now we come to point to verse 4. Verse 4, which we've already started, but we've got to make some headway here. Okay, verse 4, when. Now that's a time factor. When introduces time. It takes us into the second part of the plan of God. That is your life as a Christian. Your life as a married person. And in study here, the sheep are now out of the fold. They're no longer inside of the fold. They're now out of the fold. And think about that. Boy, you're out there, and there are 100 directions you can go. Now, right, let's just for analogy, there's where the shepherd wants to take you to pasture. But look at all the directions we got. You might just say 360 directions you can take off. It's a very dangerous place to be. It's outside there. Okay, now, when he, Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, puts forth, now that's salvation, puts forth all his own, and we studied why the volatile word put forth, the work of Christ on the cross, puts forth his own, that's his own sheep who respond by faith. Note the word all, he doesn't lose any, and doesn't leave any. He, Jesus Christ, goes before them. Remember that the Greek word, the verb here denotes a change of location from behind them to now in front of them. He's now going to lead them. So they've all gone out and they're kind of all out. He will go around and get in front of them and now they take off. That's the picture going on here. So we've got the man and woman married and now the husband, as it were, is going to lead in that sense. Now let's get going here. He's going to move from being the good shepherd. Now what's the good shepherd? That's coming up in verse 11 and 14. The good shepherd is the shepherd who dies for the sheep. But now he becomes, in verse 4, the great shepherd, salvation 2, providing for them. Providing. Now in eternity, stage 3, or salvation 3, that is where he becomes the chief shepherd. Now, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Okay. A lot going on here, and I'm going to try to make this quick because I want to move on. But I want one little thing that I want to pull together, pull the whole thing together for you. The voice doesn't change. The message doesn't change. I have on the last page for the cover this morning, but I'm going to use the analogy now. How many women heard one voice to get married? But it seems like almost immediately that voice changes. Now it's, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. All of a sudden, it's control, it's performance, you've got to do. Now over here in the courting stage, that wasn't the voice you heard. Didn't hear that voice. Heard another voice. For sake of illustration, a voice of love. A voice of kindness. A voice that says, we're going to make this journey together. A voice that says, I recognize Scripture. The man is the head of the marriage. But I want to tell you how it's going to be run. It's going to be run by love. And care. And we're going to make this Christian journey, and we are going to have a ball. But boy, once they're married, the voice changes. I don't recognize that voice. You've got to do this, and you can't do that, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Wait a minute. Time out. You've changed the voice. Now, what do I mean? You've changed the message. This is what we're talking about in phase 2. Salvation 2. The message, the voice, does not change, people. You and I were called by a voice of grace through faith. You and I were called by a voice through love. It's that same voice after we're out of the sheepfold. We're not going to hear. We should not, we do. We should not hear another voice, another message. So with that in mind now, because I just got an objective to go this morning in the brief time we have. Now look what it says. And the sheep follow him. Now note what it says. Because they know his voice. People, that's why they were saved. By that voice. And that's the voice we ought to follow after we're out of the sheepfold. But so often, now almost always, Christians start going to another voice. A voice of performance, of working, of doing. But know what it says, because they know His voice. Now, the basic concept of word to follow. I know what a lot of people do. Military, gotta follow, and follow meaning this and that. Let me tell you what's going on. The basic concept of the Greek word to follow here, you're going someplace. You're going someplace. That's the main issue here. You're going somewhere. Now, where are you going in your life? See, our life is a journey. Everyone's life is a journey. Please remember that. Now, I don't have time to get off on this, but we studied it before. Everyone's life's a journey. If we wanted to go from the West Coast to the East Coast, why we'd want to do that, I have no idea. But for analogy, from the cross, moving onward, so we go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and everybody goes a different direction. Some people take the rocky terrain. Other people go the more scenic route. Others go the more fun route. So sometimes you're going to see some people broken down in Las Vegas. Sometimes you're going to see some people stopped along the way to look at the scenery in the mountains. Some people get broken down here and there. Don't judge each other. There's no difference in the plan of God between the person who gets bogged down in Vegas and the person who gets bogged down in some beautiful terrain in the mountains. They're not on their way. They're not on the journey. We like to judge the person in Vegas, but not the person living on top of a nice mountain with a beautiful terrain. They're not going. Life's a journey. And rather than judge anyone along life's journey, you help them, encourage them. You point the way, if you please. So the ideal I'd like you to get from the word to follow is that your life is a journey and we're going somewhere. And if I stay with the same, the sheep are going to the pasture, too many people are going somewhere. And sure is nice when they're going the same direction. Sure is nice when the sheep go in the same direction as the shepherd. But we're going, it's a journey. So once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born from above, you're taken out of the world, out of the sheepfold. People, you do not belong to the world. Therefore, they will hate you. They will hate you. You don't belong, you have no claims to the world. Going to our analogy, the man and woman who got married, everyone else is out of the picture now, even parents. Everyone else is out of the picture. It's them. The two become one. So this is the picture. Now, most believers, in their journey, follow the circumstances of life, their emotions, traditions, what their parents did. They chase after things that they think will make them happy. All of these things, by the way, produce what we're studying on Wednesday night in stress, anxiety, and depression. People, put it into your soul, because one of the great handicaps of walking by faith is arrogance. You and I are not leaders. I'm sorry. We are not. America praises, exalts, encourages, and builds leaders. But in the spiritual realm, you're not a leader. I'm not a leader. We do not do it our way. We are followers of God the Holy Spirit. We are to follow. When He, Jesus Christ, puts forth out of the sheepfold all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep, now this time the sheep doesn't refer to all the sheep. This is the sheep who have responded to Him by faith, who responded to His voice. Follow Him because they know His voice. The Greek conjunction hati means because. Because. Then we have the perfect active indicative of the Greek word oida. There are several Greek words for knowing. We got a couple of them in our passage, by the way. Different words for knowing. This word is the Greek word oida. For those of you who care, this is what oida looks like. If you don't care, let's see what it looks like. O-I-D-A, oida. Now, what's important is not the Greek word. What is important about this, what does that word mean? Because they know His voice. The word to know here is a rather interesting Greek word. It means to know something or someone where that knowledge makes a difference in your life. Now, a lot of people watch You Want to Be a Millionaire. I never got into that, but I did like Jeopardy. And you just sit there and I'm just amazed. How do they know all that stuff? The vastness of it. How do they know all that? Information doesn't even matter. That's what I'm talking about here. This is not knowing something that doesn't matter. Now, in their shows, I guess it does matter. It means they want some money. But in life, it doesn't matter. But then there's a knowledge that does make a difference. There's knowing things that determine and direct the way that you're going to live. So this makes a difference in your life. We all know people. We all know people. It makes no real difference in our life. They cross our paths in various ways. But that knowledge doesn't have any impact in the decision-making process, what we're going to do with our lives. But then you meet someone. Going back to our marriage analogy, this knowledge makes a difference. This knowledge makes a difference. This is powerful. This knowledge of this person is different. So it's going to make a difference in our lives. Very powerful. Maybe in the romance, maybe someone at work, maybe someone spiritually, but whatever. But what I want you to understand about the Word, because they know His voice. Knowing His voice means to know it in such a way it's going to make a difference in my life. It's going to make an impact on my life. I'm going to follow that voice. Now, a lot of people think they are, but they've left the voice that they were called out of the world, out of the sheepfold with. The knowledge, oida, means that they know Him in a personal way, in an intimate knowledge, and has an impact on their daily life that they're going to trust Him. They're going to follow Him. This is what they're going to do. Next, to know is an advancement. Now watch this. It's an advancement on the hear. Previously, we've had they heard His voice. Now we have an advancement. They heard His voice and responded in the only way they could out to move out of the sheepfold, and that's by faith. As an unbeliever, we hear the grace call of the gospel. There's only one way we can respond, and that's by faith. And now we know that voice. Do you hear what I'm saying, people? If you know how you're saved, you know that voice. And if we'll always listen to the voice, you'll never be led astray by religious strangers. People with a strange voice. I know that voice now. I heard that voice when I was an unbeliever, and all that voice said was, trust me. I'll do everything for you. I'll provide everything. Now they're out of the sheepfold, I know that voice now. And that voice is where I'm going to go. So this is a very powerful thing going on that Christ is teaching them. They're out of the sheepfold. They know the voice. They hear it. Now there's an advancement as we walk by faith. So verses 1 through 4 now describes the two-part plan of God. He calls us out of the world. He now leads us. He does not desert us. He does not change. What He's doing doesn't change. The modus operandi of life doesn't change from how I was called and how I'm going to live out there, how I'm going to follow Him. The voice doesn't change from come follow me by grace through faith and love, but out here now you've got to work. That's a different voice. And anyone knows that that has experienced that. So I use the example of a woman. Every woman knows it immediately. And that's when you wonder, God, did I make a mistake? This isn't the voice that I married. It's a frightening thing for a woman. Now, it could be the man also. Just to make no doubt about that. This is not a man thing, ladies. Women do the same thing. I'm making the analogy from how we respond to Christ, the bride. We're the bride. That's a frightening period when that woman starts hearing another voice. And sometimes it's so loud, you almost know it immediately. Man, I would think that would just be horrifying. To be a woman and just, boom, hear that different voice. And that does happen. I've been around long enough to know that now. But sometimes it just takes a little while and you start sensing, this isn't the voice that I married. This isn't the message. This isn't the way that I was called into this marriage. But now I'm stuck. And I'm sorry for that. But in the spiritual analogy, you're not stuck, but it's the same type of principle. People, the voice doesn't change after you're saved. Christ now becomes our shepherd in front of us, leading, but he leaves by that same call of grace that he brought us out of the sheepfold in. He now leads us. He does not desert us. He provides for us. Please look at John 14. Please just look over a few pages. John 14. He's going to provide for you. He's not going to change in any way. He's going to provide. Now, John 14, I just want to read quickly verses 16. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, when he goes to heaven, when Christ goes to heaven after the resurrection, ascension, and the first thing I'm going to do when I get there, I will ask the Father, and he, God the Father, will give you, believers, another helper, just like me. Just as you follow me, you follow him. Just as you listen to me, you listen to him. The voice is the same. Another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But now we know his voice, see? But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you through the being of the Spirit. Now let's go back to John 10, verse 5. So he's going to provide. But all people, just remember, the voice doesn't change. Now, I've got just enough time. We need to cover this. So let's look at chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 5 is a great danger. Verse 5 is a great danger. It's dangerous now that you've been let out of the sheepfold. And believe it or not, it's dangerous now that you're married. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be. Let's take a look. What's the danger here? I want to go back to the sheepfold. I want to go back to where I felt a little safety. People, please understand. Listen to me. Walking and living your life by faith is not easy. It seems dangerous. That's why most Christians, after they're saved by grace through faith, run to some type of law, some denomination, some preacher that gives them structure, that gives them a control factor, gives them a performance. Ah, now I know what I have to do. Ah, now I have to repent. Now I have to confess. Now I have to be sorrowful. Now I have to be good. Now I have to do this and do that. Now I have to be morally righteous. Or I have to learn a lot of Bible doctrine. Or I have to have a charismatic experience. Or I have to serve. There's a comfort in that, people. There's a comfort in law. There's a comfort in list. That's why God said in earlier John, what did he say? I'm calling a new breed. I'm calling a breed of people who will walk by faith. Will you dare to do that? Will you dare just to follow by faith and trust me that I will lead you? I will guide you? I will teach you? That's a little frightening. Analogy. Remember that. The girl grows up. Dad, I'm going to pick on Dad a moment. Mothers are involved. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. Dad pays for things. He's got a home. Mom cooks. Mom provides. People, there's a security in that. And now you're out there with this bum. I don't know how this is really going to work. It's a whole different world. Phase two is always different. So now we're saved. But boy, I don't feel good out here. I kind of like it, the confines of the law, of doing. So we go to that. It's difficult to follow that same voice. Just trust me. Just walk by faith. That's very dangerous. why is laissez-faire capitalism so impossible for the human race? That's dangerous. It's much better to have a government that'll take care of you from the womb to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. That's security. But take a government that says, hey, you're on your own, kid. You've got to provide everything. You've got to learn how to fit in and make money. You've got to provide what you want to do with your money, how you're going to live, what you're going to do. Whoa! That is a phenomenon. That is unbelievable. Heard an interesting thing. Mexico, much of Central America, was discovered first. Why didn't it go? Why didn't it become great? Why did America become great? Well, one person put forth the hypothesis, which I haven't studied. What were they looking for when they went to Mexico? When the Spaniards and people went to Mexico, what were they looking for? They were looking for gold. Money. What did the people look for who came to America? Freedom. Just freedom. Not gold. Freedom. People, you've got to make up your mind. Living by faith, that all I have to do is trust you. I trust you and I'm restored from sin. I trust you and you bless. I trust you and you guide. I trust you with my life. Boy, that's a dangerous thing to do. How I like to know, well, no, I've done this now. And God said if I do this, he'll do that. I like that. No. The same voice that called you out of the sheep pen. The same voice. Trust me. I'll lead you. Just trust me. Danger. Let's look at it. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Wow. Okay. Going back. People, this is one of the greatest dangers for a Christian life. Not sin. Sin's not the greatest danger to Christians. But going back to some form of slavery. Going back to religion. Going back to law. Going back to lists. Going back to Satan's live performance. What happened right after the Exodus? Remember what happened? They wanted to go back. Not only did they want to go back, they talked about how great it was. Oh, it was great. Here's our little girl. I hate my dad. I hate my mom. I hate the confines. I hate the control. I hate this house. I hate everything. Gets out of marriage, his mom, and about 2 minutes after the marriage, I want to go back home. Oh, I want to go home. Well, wait a minute. You just told me how bad home was. Well, got a different perspective. I want to go back. That's what the Jews did. I want to go back to the slavery. Something secure, even in slavery. I know that you all know of people that heard the story. There are people who have been in prison so long that when they're out, they want to go back. They want to go back. That's the only life they know. They've got to go back to prison. You're not serious. Why would you do that and go back? You knew. You were in there for 20 years for something, and you turn around and you do it. They want to. There's security there. Going back. Right after being set free from the law, Christians want to go back to the law. After being set free from sin, believers want to go back to the slavery of sin. Look at Galatians 5:1, please. Just kind of quickly. It all flows. The John, what we're studying now in John is what the book of Galatians is about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So important to our study, to Galatians, to your life, to our life. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Why is that there? Because that's our natural tendency. That's the desire of the flesh. It finds security in slavery. Now, note the contrast here.
keep standing firm, and yet we're on a journey moving. Well, what do you want me to do, God? You want me to stand still, or you want me to move? I want you to move under the same voice. I want you to stand firm with faith. And I want you to move with faith. I hope I communicate that to you. I want you to advance on the journey, but you're going to advance the same way you came out. And that's walking by faith. The same voice. Okay, principle. Vital principle. The voice does not change. They know His voice, and His voice does not change. No matter what is said, what is going on, it is going to be received by grace through faith. Whether you're talking about spiritual recovery from sin, whether you're talking about divine guidance, whether you're talking about divine blessing, whether you're talking about whatever it is, whether you want the fruits of the Spirit, you want peace in your soul, you want joy in your soul, you want all these things in your soul, it's the same voice, same message that brought you out. Trust me. Trust the one I send, and I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. It doesn't change. The voice is a grace call of the gospel. You'd be surprised how many Christians are saved by one voice and follow another as Christians. You hear that? Saved by one voice and follow another. It's like the woman married to one man and goes to bed with another. No. You go to bed with the man you married. Saved by grace through faith, but live by law. But it sounds so good. So did he, the other guy. Satan's a genius at making the false gospel sound good. People, listen to the voice. And don't hear any other voice. Let's listen to the voice of grace through faith and respond only to that voice. Please look with me at Galatians 1. Don't get worried, we're not going to read the Galatians, but it's just so much of Galatians is in these few verses that we're studying in John. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called by voice, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. You got right outside of the sheep gate and you took off after another voice. Quickly. You didn't even get past the domain of the city. So quickly, you started listening to another voice. We're to live by the gospel, people. We're to live by the same voice that called us. We're to live by the gospel. We're to live by that same message. Trust me, I'm God. I do, you receive. No. I want to be part of it. Verse 7 of Galatians 1, which is really not another, meaning it cannot deliver. That's what it means. It cannot deliver. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. People, how do you distort? You change it just a little bit. You don't do away with it. You don't just say, banish the Christian life. Distort it just a little. And oh my, it might be, oh, just a little ritual. It might be, oh, just a little control. You've got to come to the church all the time. You've got to repent now. You've got to confess now. You've got to feel sorry now. Distort it ever so little. Why can't we hear that? We're not listening. That's why so many born-again believers, truly saved forever, out of the sheepfold, but they don't walk by the same voice that called them. It's a different voice. A different message. You've got to do something a little different. what you have in Galatians 1:6-7, same thing we have here. The same principle. Strangers, want to distort the gospel, disturbing you. I don't understand. I'm disturbed. I hear a different voice, and oh, it sounds good. Let me go back and pick on the woman again. She's married over here, but boy, this voice sounds so good and so nice and so appealing. And what starts to happen, well, wait a minute, I'm married here, but boy, this voice is really good. Same thing happens to men. And this is really good. And you get confused. People, let's just listen to one voice. Trust me. If you hear anything else that doesn't just say, trust me, I'm God, we're going to see you and flee from it. And I'll deal with that as we go through it. Let's go back to 10:5. So, how do we stand firm? Galatians 5:1. We stand firm in our advance in the Christian life. We stand firm on the truth of the gospel. As you advance, stand firm on that. That's how you're going to advance. Don't go to another voice. Gospel of John 10:5, and a stranger, they simply will not follow. First thing about a stranger, I'm not going to give you 50 points. Let's get through this. First thing about a stranger here is not someone you do not know. It's not that kind of stranger. This is not, we normally think of a stranger as someone we don't know. This may not be someone like that. A stranger in your life, in your journey as a Christian, is someone who does not belong. He's an intruder. Question. How then do I recognize a stranger? See, that's why I had to tell you, it may not be someone you don't know, because we could all sit here and say, well, I'm a stranger, Lord. Maybe someone you know. How are we going to recognize a stranger? This is vital for your life. So important. If you are saved, if you understand precisely how you were saved, that being by simple faith in the one whom God has sent, if you understand that, you will always be able to recognize a stranger. You'll always be able to recognize a stranger. Someone that isn't saying that. Received by faith. That's all you have to do is trust me. People, then that is a stranger who comes along and says, no, now you've got to do something. Now that you're saved by grace through faith, now you've got to do. You've got to do something for God. He is known by many titles. Liar, sheep in wolf's clothing, enemy of the cross, false teachers, whatever you want to call them. But it's not that same grace voice. It's not the same thing that just said, trust me, I'll give it to you. Trust the one I send, I'll give it to you. People, let's just learn. And I don't know who you listen to, your journey through life, but always listen to the voice. Always listen. Is this the message by which I was saved? Is what this man is saying on TV, radio, book, whatever means, is offered to us. That's the voice by which I was saved. Is that the voice of the cross? Is that the voice of love? Is that the voice that led me out of the sheepfold? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. Otherwise, it's a stranger. When he teaches, he strays from the gospel by which you were saved. So now you do what? Now you know. That's a stranger. That's a strange teaching. What makes this person a stranger? He teaches a strange gospel. Galatians 1, what did we just see? Another gospel. A gospel of a different kind. He teaches a strange, he's a stranger because he's got a strange gospel for me to live by. And you know, everybody's going to fail in this area. We're all going to, I'm going to fail. But in the momentum of our life, and by what I mean by fail, I don't mean to sin. I just mean we're going to fail to see it sometime. We're all going to. That's why we just got to always keep our mind. Am I on the right track here? Am I following the right voice here? This is what's going to keep us following Him as we should. The Greek word here, translated stranger, the basic meaning is belonging to another, not one's own. Now, there are two ways that we can see this. Two ways. One, they are a stranger to you. They're a stranger to you. You should not follow their voice teaching another gospel, another way of life that is not based on the gospel. But secondly, and this is very important, they're strangers to Jesus Christ. Now, they may be saved, but their message is strange even to him. They're not teaching, following by faith. Very important. The stranger may or may not be a believer in Jesus Christ, but he pretends to lead Christians. He may or may not be a believer. Christianity is filled with strangers. They teach, preach a different gospel than the one by which you were saved. John MacArthur teaches a different gospel than the gospel by which he himself was saved. That happens to us a lot. We get smart. We get intelligent. We learn the languages. We start thinking. We start putting together our own thoughts. And wow, look what I've come up with. A gospel different than the one by which I myself was saved. People, be so careful. One voice. It doesn't change from before, when you were in the world as an unbeliever, out of the world. Before you were married, after your marriage. The same voice that we want to follow. When you listen to the voice of a stranger, a strange gospel, now listen to this, when we do listen, we leave the true shepherd who called us. We leave his voice. We leave his voice. It says they simply will not follow. Future active indicative, to follow, that is to follow the direction they lead. And the direction they lead is law. The direction they lead is performance. The direction they lead is Satan's lie. Okay, I'm sorry, but look back at Galatians 5 with me. Please, do it. Take the time. It's worth it. Strangers, they simply will not follow. Almost all of Galatians is in these few verses in John. Galatians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 7 now. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Boy, there's just so many things that are up for grabs. What does it mean to be running? What does it mean to run well? That depends on your Norman standard, what's well. Who hindered you from obeying? What is obeying the truth? What's the truth? Okay, what is the truth? It's the voice of the shepherd. What is the truth? It's the truth of the gospel. Trust me. Trust the one I send. You are running. You're advancing. Boy, you came out of that sheepfold. Man, like a bull comes out of the sheep. Man, you got out there. You were doing well. You were following. The marriage was going great. Right out of the marriage. It was going really super. You were running well. Well means you were running according to the truth of the gospel by which you came out. Well means you were following the same voice. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is the truth? Truth of the gospel. What's the truth of the gospel? Trust me. I'll do for you if you just trust me. What's obeying? Faith. This, now look at verse 8. This persuasion not to follow the truth did not come from him who calls you. Typically, you're listening to a different voice. See the voice here in verse 8? It is the voice that called you. It's the voice of grace, your faith, the voice of love. That voice didn't persuade you to go to work. That voice didn't persuade you to do. That voice didn't take you to Satan's lie, performance. That voice just said, trust me. Verse 9, a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump of dough. Different ways we can see the whole lump of dough. Let's take one thing. The whole lump of dough is all your life. Whole lump of dough could be the whole assembly, be just your life. You just let in that little bit. Well, you know, I got to do this. Boom, there goes your whole life. You just started following a new voice. But that sounded so right. It's from the Bible. It's a different voice. It's not the voice by which you were led out of, people. Gotta see the whole Bible just works together. Now let's go back to John chapter 10. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him. What are you going to do when you hear a different voice? What do you do? Well, I think I'm going to stick around and listen. I think I'm going to stick around and analyze this. I think I'm going to just sit here and flirt a little while. You run. You run. Will a married man or woman, happily married, will a happily married man and woman ever, and I'm going to use a slang expression, excuse me if it offends you, be turned on by another person, the opposite sex of that? You bet. If you don't think so, you're naive. You're going to meet someone, work, social, whatever, church, whatever. What's going to be your technique of handling that? Flee. Run. Put on your Nikes and get out of there. Let's take a look. Flee from him. In your journey, strangers, teachers, others who would distract you from walking by faith are going to enter your life. People, Satan will make sure of that. He's going to make sure of that. You're going to hear some doggone good teachers. It's just a little bitty point. It's going to take you away from grace through faith. You're going to hear him. He's going to make sure. What should you do? Flee. The strongest conjunction of contrast, but. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but. Flee. Now, macho America. I don't run from nothing. I don't run from anybody. I'm John Wayne. Nothing's going to get me. Oh, how I wish I could teach about 100 teenagers again. You're not that big. You better bet I'm not going to take that smoke, that drag, that bottle, the drink. You better bet I'm not. I know what it'll do to me. You bet I'm scared. I'm scared of dumping a whole shot of Clorox down my stomach, too. You think I'm going to take a shot of Clorox? No. Then what makes you think I'm going to take that? Here's a shot of Clorox. You drink the shot of Clorox, and then I'll have yours. I'll have your drag. I'll have your drugs. But before I take your drugs, you take that Clorox. Or we'll do that. What now, you scared? You coward? You better bet, I'm afraid. Humility, walking by faith, knows when to do this. John Wayne America, boy, I don't run from anybody. I can stand my ground, all this type of thing. It's a wise believer who knows when to flee. Or better stated, a believer is walking by the filling of the Spirit will be led when to flee. And there are times to do it. Now I've got an important question. Why? Why flee? Why run? I don't need to deal with the Greek word. Please, you may need to know what that means. Get out of there. Get out of there now. Get out. Say, why flee? Why run? Why not just walk away? Why not sit there? Why should I be afraid of it? Say, because you would be shocked at just how easy it is to come under Satan's lie. It is so easy. Your flesh wants it so bad. It's so easy. Don't think it isn't. These strangers, false teachers, make Satan's lie sound so good, so right. What did we read? I won't make you turn back. I'll ask you to turn back. But remember Galatians 1? What did it say? How quickly you have deserted. Oh, people, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. I would tell you, newly married young people or anybody married, but don't say, oh, I've never succumbed. You're arrogant. Used car salesmen love you. They got one right on the lot for you. They never tricked me. Oh, come on in. I'm Honest John. I got a car for you. People, they make the false gospel, the strange gospel, another gospel, a different gospel, sounds so right. It's so God-centered. It's so this, it's so that, and it's in the Bible. I'll do it. And you're gone. You're following a different voice, and you didn't even recognize it. You didn't even hear the change in the voice. So why flee? Why not hang around? Why not intellectually, oh, I want to intellectually examine this. I want to scholarly study this. I want to theologically understand this. The scriptures say, run when you hear a strange voice. When you hear a voice that's different than, just trust me. Put your faith in the one who I have sent, and I will do for you. You don't have to perform for me. You didn't perform to get out of the sheepfold. You don't perform to get to the pastor, and you don't perform while you're in the pastor. I do it all. Just trust me. Infinite number of so many Christians have been lost to religious strangers who teach something that is not true. It's just amazing how quickly we can go from grace to works and call it grace. It's not grace. It wasn't grace over here, and you knew it wasn't grace over here. But now you call it grace. It's a different voice. It's a different message. You knew what grace was over here. Faith. Only thing I can give God is faith. And I'm not giving God anything. I'm receiving from Him by faith. But over here, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. I've got to repent. I've got to confess. I've got to feel sorry. I've got to change my life. I've got to get committed. I've got to make Him Lord. I've got to do all this stuff. Is that the voice you heard over here? No. Then people don't listen to it. I'm not telling you who to listen to or not listen to. I wouldn't be so stupid and arrogant. But I will beckon you. Listen to the voice you're listening to. Is that the voice by which you were saved? Is that the gospel message that called me out of slavery and brought me into freedom? Or is it a voice that wants to give me enslavement again, just a different kind? Be sure we listen to what it is that we're hearing. You know what to do with it. The Greek word for flee, I want to say one thing about it. It introduces, it describes, it's a mechanical word. I don't have time to develop all this. I could do it just... Man, I don't take my word if you want to go study it. The Greek word here is what we call a mechanical word. It describes a technique. What is the technique for avoiding getting distracted from truth? Flee. That's a simple technique. That's simple. What's the technique for a man or woman who are married? Now, if you're not married, it doesn't apply. But if you're married, what's the best technique? When this strange, wonderful voice comes along, run. Do not pass go. Do not go to jail, as they say. Get going. Get out of there. Don't think you're above it. Oh, well, the lunch won't matter. Oh, well, this won't matter. You can imagine how many lunches have turned into dinners and how many dinners have turned into you know what. What's the best technique? Coolness? No. Flee. Be smart. I don't belong here. This is not the voice that called me. Flee. Yeah, but it sounds so good, and there's so many people. All these people can't be wrong. And I hear that 1,000 times. All these people can't be wrong. Look how many people are Roman Catholics. Look how many people are Muslims. Look how many people are all these things. They can't be wrong? Are you kidding? Don't try to outsmart Satan, and don't try to figure out God. He doesn't ask you to. He made it very simple. Follow my voice. What's my voice? Trust me. What's my voice? Love. I'll perform, not you. Don't try to figure Satan out. Don't try to outsmart him. Don't try to figure God out. Our task is very simple. Walk by faith. Follow the voice that called you when you're an unbeliever. What's the call of the cross? Don't ever leave it. That's why people, I think that's why, one of the reasons why our salvation is not progressive, it's just instantaneous. so that anytime we want to know how to live, how to be restored, how to do anything, go back. How did you enter? How did you get out of the sheepfold? I trusted. Ah, bingo. That's all you have to do. Just trust me. So what's the technique? To flee. A stranger they simply will not follow, but flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Not know, perfect active indicative of oidos. And what's important here, oidos that verb, it means you know something, so what makes a difference in your life. I don't know that voice. Not knowing that voice makes a difference in my life. I'm not going to follow it. Sounds good. Very powerful, very charismatic, says some things about God, all of this stuff. People remember that Job's three friends saturated their discourses with God. But what did God say in chapter 42? It's a lie. They did not speak truth to me. But their whole thing was filled with God. Not know. Perfect tense. What's the perfect tense? Please listen. Even if you don't like language. What the perfect tense says is here is beautiful. They did not know this voice in the past with the result. They do not know this voice now. This voice did not call them out of the sheepfold, therefore they do not know this voice out of the sheepfold. That's the perfect tense there. Makes a difference in my life. I didn't follow that voice out of here. I'm not going to follow that voice once I'm out of here. They do not know the voice. Okay, finally verse 6. Let's finish this up. Just give me a few more minutes here. The figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those sayings were, which he was saying to them. Now, anyone that knows me, what you know, this is good for a good 6 months. That verse teaches reveal and conceal. This verse teaches so many things that we've been going over and seeing over and over in Scripture. But you're going to love the word for figure of speech. By the way, the word for figure of speech is translated parable by the King James. It's translated proverb. It's translated riddle. It's translated figure of speech. The Greek word is a compound word. You'll like this. So let's do it. The Greek word is a compound. The prepositional prefix, para. Now that's P-A-R-A. You'll like this. This is when the Greek is fun to put on a board. A lot of times it doesn't mean anything. But this is where you can grasp some fun out of it. Para means to put alongside. Okay, you got that? Put alongside. Amia, O-I-M-I-A, okay. O-I-M-I-A. And that means basically a road. Therefore, what we have here, we have two roads alongside each other. And most people never see this road. Never see it. They see this road. They see that road. But they never see the other road. They don't know it. This teaches what you and I have studied so many times, reveal and conceal. Gonna see it? You're not gonna see it. Truth is there, but you're not gonna see it. We saw it in Isaiah 28. Therefore, what did it say in verse 13? Therefore, the gospel will become. The word of God will become, which is the gospel there. Do and do, roll and roll, little here, little there. Why? So that they'll go and fall and stumble backwards, and then they'll see this other road. Why did he do that? Why did he speak in a figure of speech or a parable or a riddle? Who spoke in riddles in the Old Testament? Who? Well, what person? In his story in the Bible? Samson! Remember? Oh, I'm about to be Samson again. Y'all wonder why we do things over again sometimes. How did you forget Samson? One of the hearts of the whole study of Samson is the riddles. Oh. Now, what did we learn from that? It's like one of the closest Christ figures in the Old Testament. Spoke in riddles. Christ spoke in parables. Why did Christ speak in parables? Look at Matthew 13. Why did Christ speak in two roads? Look at Matthew chapter 13, quickly, please. We'll close with this. I don't know why you're in a hurry to get out, Cowboys. I don't know if they're worse than them, but now the Mavericks are playing at noon. That might be different. Okay. Matthew chapter 13, and what I'd like you to do is look at verse 3 so you get the heart of what we're going to be dealing with in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, verse 3, and he spoke, he, Jesus Christ, spoke many things to them in parables. And then he's going to give a parable. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10. And the disciples came up and said, he just says, come running up to him. Wait a minute, grab him. Wait a minute. Why do you speak to them in parables? What's their question? Why don't you just say it? Why don't you just lay it out there? Why do you speak, look, why do you speak in two roads? Why do you do that? Why do you hide something? Okay, let's see what Christ does now. See how Christ answers the question in verse 11. He's going to answer it. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but them it has not been granted. Now, why not? Because they're hidden. That goes back to Isaiah 28. This is not hyper-Calvinism. They do not want to see, so therefore they're not going to see. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. Oh, I love that. I love that. In America, we like to use this slang expression, the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Well, that's true spiritually. To those who will walk with their eyes open, they're going to see more and more and more of the truth. To those whose eyes are closed, they're going to see law everywhere they go. They're going to see performance in Satan's lives. And he shall have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even when he has shall be taken away from him. What truth he has. They had the scriptures, but they didn't see it. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. I do not understand, people, because they don't see the truth. You can't believe how the Bible opens up once you begin to realize what this book is about. It's about God saying, trust me. Just trust me. So we'll close now. Pull it together. The voice that you heard that called you out of the world, that message, that's the voice. Voice is a message. That's the message for all your life. You advance on that. Your journey is on that. You run, running well, moving, advancing, but you always want to stand firm. You always want it to be the same voice that says, just trust me, I'm God. It's like Our Lady when she gets married. It's a different voice. That's a frightening thing. Go to a different voice after you're married. But boy, how wonderful it is for the Christian life when you and I live by the same voice, the same message that called us out. It's the same gospel, the same truth of the gospel after we're Christians. But it's so, so easy. We're so vulnerable to a different voice. That sounds good. How could you quickly desert him who has called you for another gospel? It's called gospel because it does sound good, but it's another one. It will not save. It will not deliver. It will not advance you. It's not of love. I hope you grasp it. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how simple is your message, and yet how difficult it is for us to always see and always hear. There isn't a one in this room that we're not going to hear that other voice sometimes. But Heavenly Father, it is our objective and our purpose, once we clearly understand that voice and hear it, to be able to make that distinction and to follow that voice of grace, true grace, that voice of love, unconditional spiritual love. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Spirit will take the things that we've seen, open our eyes and open our ears, that we might see and hear, that we might always remember to flee, to run fast when it's Satan's lie, when it's performance for you. And never blaspheme you, never insult you by offering you high performance, but always ready to humbly receive what you so graciously give. Father, we wait with great anticipation for the day when we will see him as he really is. But until that day, it is our joy to live each day in this wonderful journey. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.